let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Let me pray here real quick. Lord, we thank you again for these people that are here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would give me the words that you want me to speak today. And I pray, Lord, that we would walk away understanding you more, Lord, and understanding what your desire is from us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, what time is it? Is it 11:30 already? This is going to work out perfect. This is going to be only about 15 minutes, all right, today. So, all right. Verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." That is the text today. And what's interesting is this is the Apostle Paul's advice to Timothy. And, of course, in context, if you're reading this in context, the Apostle Paul's talking to his preacher boy, Timothy, right? And he's just saying, hey, I want you to, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. But I will tell you this, that I think we can make a safe doctrinal Bible application here in saying that God sits there and says, hey, until I come, right, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. You know, so here, first of all, is look at reading. You know, there's one thing that our society is losing real quick, and that's the ability to read and read effectively. You know, libraries are almost a thing of the past. I don't even know why they have libraries. Most people can look up the books, you know, on their electronic devices, right? Okay? It is, and it's funny because Ethan works over there, he works at Power, you know, and Miss Pat gets the whip out, and, you know, she tattled on him the other day. She said, you know, that Ethan, you know, he's okay, but we got to keep him motivated. But here's the issue, though, is that, you know what? He brings home these books to me. I said, look, Dad, I got this book, and I found this book. And to me, it's like, I'm like, this is like gold. Because I love books, because guess what? There is a desire for knowledge. And what concerns me about people who don't read or don't want to read anymore is that they're not wanting the desire of knowledge anymore. Well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with it. There was an old hippie in a wilderness survival book that, you know, one said, the problem is that we're victims, right, of our own society. In a sense that, guess what? You know, 50, 60 years ago, a man continued to educate himself and would read, and, you know, he knew a little bit of how to replace the roof on the house. He knew how to replace the windows in the house. He knew a little bit of basic plumbing. We now call the handyman out for that. We don't even know how to hook up a microwave almost anymore. Huh? That partly is because they've got so complicated. You know, mine's almost like voice commanded, you know. Make me breakfast. And it goes doop, 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 doop. And then, you know, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's not that fancy, but almost, you know. And, of course, the vehicles have gotten more fancy, where it's all just electrical driven, which is great. But, you know, if it comes down to it, you know, you can't really work on them. But one of the major problems is man has stopped educating himself. Yeah. I'm just like everybody else. At the end of the workday, I would rather just be entertained than read and continue learning. This is why I watch TV. Huh? So I can just be entertained. Entertained just means I just let my brain go to mush, you know, and I just vegetate. Right? That's a Greek root word of entertainment. Really, just let your brain just turn into cauliflower and just, you know, just vegetate, right? Miss Joyce says, yeah, not me. Here's the issue. In reading, though, we've got to read. Here's what I would like to encourage you to do. And when he says here is give attendance to reading, is first of all, read repetitiously. And we're not just talking reading any other book like Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer. We're talking about the Word of God. One of the biggest challenges in churches today is that Christians, just like the general mankind, has not continued to educate himself through reading books on education, but the Christians in general have stopped reading their Bibles. Now, I realize I'm probably talking to the faithful crowd here. Obviously by listening to Fred and Dave, these guys know their Bible more than I do. I couldn't have delivered the rapture and those things of that nature and pre-tribulation. I couldn't have addressed that the way that Dave did, and Dave did a really good job of that. So here's the issue, though, is that read, but read God, when you read, read God's Word repetitiously, though. You say, well, that kind of sounds stupid. I do that all the time. Well, God bless you then, right? But read repetitiously. That doesn't mean just pick up the Bible once a week, right? That means reading it every day. Reading it every day. It's funny to me how my life changes when I read God's Word every day. It's funny how I have a different perspective when I'm out there in the during the work day when I've read God's Word prior to going to work. It's funny, I'll be totally honest with you, sometimes I think that I sleep better when I've had God's Word. It's kind of like drinking warm milk, right, before you go to bed, huh? Yeah. Huh? How I sleep better when I know that I've spent time with God, right? But not just read God's Word, but read it repetitiously. Also, too, here in my notes, this is read to know. Read to know God. The purpose and the reason why you read God's Word is to know who God is and what God says that you're supposed to do in your life. We live in a society today that says, me. Me. What's in it for me? How can this help me? And that's why I read the Bible, because it's all about me. I love myself. And so the Bible's here for me. And the real reality is, it's there for you, but it's there for you to know who God is. And when you begin to understand the characteristics of God through studying God's Word and reading God repetitiously, you're going to sit there and go, well, God, I know that you like that. And I know that you don't like that. So I'm going to start doing what you like, God, versus what you don't like. You say, well, that sounds kind of basic. Well, I told you, it's the drive-through McDonald's version here. Right? Basic. Yeah. All right? So read to know God. And then, of course, my last note on reading is read to know again. You say, well, that sounds kind of stupid. Read to know and read to know again. You know why? Because guess what? I could read Proverbs. I could read a Proverbs every day of the month, right? But by the end of the month, I'll be honest with you, I kind of forgot what I read at the beginning of the month. Oh, okay, maybe you're not like me. Maybe you guys are geniuses. Huh? Yeah. But sometimes when I sleep and I wake up, I forget about 80% of what was told to me. That Miss Arlene pinpointed it this morning for me. Because I said, well, I'm always the last to know. That's because she says, you don't ask questions and you don't listen. And so I was like, well, duh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Huh? Yeah. So that's one thing I got to work on, I guess, is asking questions, asking the right questions, and starting to listen. Huh? But, you know, that's funny because I think that's what God says, though, is He says, hey, listen to me. Come talk to me. Come spend time with me. I'm here to tell you, God can strike you with lightning to get your attention if He wants to. He has the power to do that. But the real reality is the main way that He talks to you is through His Word. He'd rather speak to you through His Word. He's talking to you. And that's why that is one doctrinal position that we stand so firm on, is that this just isn't the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is the living Word of God. Okay. Yeah. I realize that's not popular. But it's the truth. Because here's the issue, is if I do not have the living Word of God in my hands, I have nothing. All I have is philosophy to stand on. And that's as faulty as trying to hold water in a sieve. It ain't going to happen. All right. So notice here, second is give attendance to reading, to exhortation. My wife's already fallen asleep, so I got to hurry here. Exhortation. She's got her head cocked to the side. You know, I noticed the body language here. Okay. A here is comfort one another in Christ. It's important that you attend church. It's important that you become a member of a church. Don't be like, a lot of people in today's society. Well, you know, I run into them all the time. Well, I go to the, New Hope Baptist Church because they got a good pastor in the morning. And then I go to this church in the evening because, man, they got a good, choir and, good rock and roll music that I like. And I've heard it all. You got church hoppers. Huh? And it ain't a mortal sin. But I would encourage you to find a church, make that church your home, and become a member of that church. Why? Because guess what? You're going to get your tank refueled by hanging around other Christians. You know, that's why I want to encourage the men. I'm not isolating the women out of the picture at all. I want our men, though, to be more involved in our church, in the leadership of our church. Men should be volunteering once in a while to do the offering. Hello. Yeah. Huh? There should be more than just Ryan that comes up here and leads the music. All right. I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes. I'm guilty. I didn't show up for Sunday school. I apologize there, Fred. I need to be faithful too. Here's the issue, though, is that we need to start moving forward. And part of that is us men saying, hey, we're going to do what God tells us to do. And part of that is exhortation. Bible says, he likens it as iron sharpening iron. We men of the church should be iron sharpening iron. Yeah. It makes us elite. Makes us stronger. Right? It's one of the things I get at work is, hey boss, we're always doing stuff for all the other departments. I said, yeah, because that's what we're supposed to do. Right? Yeah. Because we're the spearhead, right? Yeah. Public Works is the spearhead. And we're going to dominate and we're going to take over and we're going to do some exhortation. We're going to lift everybody up in the team and we're going to develop an awesome team that's going to do the very best that they can for the city of Craig. And you say, invite sinners. My other note here is invite sinners to come to Christ. You know, I believe sometimes the church can get too busy, right? But you know, there's two major reasons for activities in the church. One major one is comfort one another in Christ. The other one is opportunity for people to come in and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'd encourage you to start praying about that. More events. Not necessarily busy work, but more events, man. We used to have Hot Dog Sunday, you know, for the bus kids. You know, we used to have, Banana Split Sunday, you know, right? We used to have all kinds of activities. This last October, one thing I miss every year is they had Old Fashioned Sunday at one of my old churches at New Testament Baptist Church. And everybody dressed up in old clothes and they had a pie contest, pie eating contest, and egg tossing. And my favorite was the horseshoes. You know, tossing horseshoes. Horseshoe competition. Huh? You say, well, that's just, we don't need that. We just, you know, we love God and we don't need that to love God and serve God. You're right, you don't, in a sense. But in another sense, you do. And what's interesting is that those activities, those events, brought people in to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, well, I moved out here to Craig, Alaska, into a tiny church so I wouldn't have to do nothing. Well, you'd just disappear. Huh? Yeah? But I'm here to tell you, there's a massive amount of work for Christ, no matter where you go. That's another part of one of my sermons that I'm getting ready for. Huh? It's one thing I learned. It don't matter whether I'm in California, in Montana, or here. There's always a ton of work that God has for me to do. I cannot run from God. Yeah. Yeah. And you say, well, you sound kind of harsh. Well, yeah, what's it going to take to lit a fire under us? Are we waiting for the miracle pastor to come? Well, yeah, I get excited when I think of Brother Matthew, Pastor Matthew. I get excited because, yeah, he's going to do good here. But God knows what's best. And not only that, but guess what? It's God. It's God's revival that has to light a fire under us. It's not a man. It can't be a man. It can only be Holy Spirit. It can only be God. So that's my challenge, is just on a side note, while I'm chasing rabbits around here this morning. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to be committed and to get on fire for God? It's not that we have to go out there and knock every door every week, every weekend. That's not what I'm saying. I'd ask that you pray, somebody, if they have the knowledge or expertise, what about some tracts with the picture of the church on the front of it, huh? Just print them out. Put them on the table here. I'd announce it from the pulpit. Hey, grab some tracts on the way out. Hand them out. Take 5 tracts with you. Hand them out throughout the week. Right? And we want not just any chick tract. Those are fine. Those are great. But what we want is something with the information with our services on the church, and information about our church. Because is this not the place to be? Well, Brother Dale, you know, there's other Christians and other churchy kind of Christian churches, and, you know, we're all kumbaya, and we all love each other because we're all Christians. I'm here to tell you, you got to be careful with that kind of philosophy. I know that sounds harsh. But, you know, that's part of one of my other sermons is, hey, you need to be careful, right? We're talking about exhortation. In one of my notes here, when I was talking to some fellas in the jail ministry, is hey, if somebody doesn't love God, they're not going to help you serve God. I know that sounds harsh. But if you got a fellow Christian that sits there and he doesn't want anything to do with God, he might know Jesus Christ as a Savior, but if he don't want nothing to do with God, don't be hanging out with him, because he isn't going to help you serve God. All right. Okay, sorry. Sorry, but not sorry. Another part of exhortation here is cause the saints to draw to the proximity with Christ, or draw in close proximity with Christ. The purpose of exhortation is for you to spend time with me and walk away saying, hey, I've had an opportunity to get closer to God. Not because I'm a godly, wonderful Christian. It's because we're talking about God when we're getting together. We're scared about talking about God when we get together. Generally. We know each other, you know, and when we get to know each other, we're a little bit more familiar, and so we feel a little bit more comfortable. But a lot of times, we don't want to talk about God, because guess what? There's a double standard in our life. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying in general, what you see here in church is different than what you get outside of church. Don't ask my children. There's a different Russell Dill in church than there is at home sometimes. I'm just being transparent. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. But that's not the way it should be. If there is a double standard in my home, I am wrong. But that's what hinders me from talking to Winston or talking to Fred about the deep things about God. All right. That's because outside of church, my focus might be on something else. Okay. But when true exhortation occurs, Fred's looking at his watch. He says, you've got about 5 minutes. Okay, all right, I got it. Okay. D here is urge on in faithful service for Christ. You know, one of the reasons I feel guilty about missing Sunday school this morning, because when I'm here, I feel like I exhort Fred. When I'm faithful to listen to God's Word, when I'm here, it helps him. He may not say it. He sounds like, you know, Mount Everest, unattainable at times. But you know what? He takes note when somebody's here or not here. Okay, amen. Thank you, Fred. Hey, I'm preaching at myself here. But notice, when true exhortation, the reason that you're faithful to God in God's house is to urge on in faithful service for Christ. Number three there, doctrine. See, to exhortation to doctrine. That's something
people don't want to talk about. Doctrine. I would like to tell you that you have to have the right balance between doctrine and love.
You have nothing but doctrine and pound nothing but doctrine from the pulpit, then you're going to have a very highly critical church. Okay? Doctrine's important. Don't misunderstand me. We stand on God's truth and God's doctrine here at this church. Through God's Word. But notice, doctrine is instruction for living holy before God. Doctrine is instruction for living holy before God. Now, I'm here to tell you, most of the time, I don't live as holy as I should before God. But the purpose of doctrine, the purpose of reading God's Word, is so that I can live a holy life before God. Now, yes, am I going to be imperfect in a sense because I still struggle with the sin nature, even being a born-again Christian? Yeah, absolutely I do.
But that's still no excuse. Because the Bible says, oh man, you're without an excuse. God says, didn't He say that? He says, I've given you the power to become the sons of God. And what that means is that He says, you've got the power to overcome sin. You've got the power to overcome yourself. That's what He's basically said. Be here and I'll move on quickly. I'm almost out of my time. I'm 5 seconds over. All right. Be here is all saints should strive to know God's Word so they can instruct or be instructors on how to know Jesus Christ as their Savior to all men. That's why you study God's doctrine. That's why you study God's Word. So that you can take God's Word and say, hey, I've been praying for you. This is what God says in His Word about how to get saved. I'm going to show you out of God's Word, right? We believe that this is the living Word of God. And we do know that God says that He cannot lie, right? So we know that this is truth. I have the statistics. It'd take me too long to find out. I'm out of time. You'd be shocked at what the percentage is of church members who don't believe that this is the Word of God. Nationally. Yeah. 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 No. Okay, my last point here is teach the saints in all biblical matters. Right? Teach the saints in all biblical matters. So that's the main point. That's the main two purposes or thrusts of the local church, is it not? It has to be. It has to have a proper balance of evangelistic work, right, and discipleship, right? Yeah, because if all you have is evangelistic work, right, you're going to get a bunch of people in here. They're going to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they still got to be continually fed the Word of God. They got to figure out how to know their newborn babies in Christ, and they got to know most of them come from families that are non-existent. Part of the problem in society is most men have not had a proper father figure in their life. Hello? You say, well, you sure sound one-minded and one-sided. No, ladies, you are equal to man. The Bible says so. But the issue is here is that, guess what? As far as men, committed Christian godly men that are doing the will of God, it's not there, folks. It's not there in general. It's not there in today's society. I don't agree with human philosophy. I hate human psychology because it runs contrary to God's Word. But there is one psychiatrist that sat there and he did say, you know what, we are now in the generation of soft males. And there's a part of me that would agree with that. And I've preached on that before. And what I mean is not that you've got a soft handshake like Ethan does. What I'm saying is that they're non-committal. They're not committed to God. Young people who want to get married, men, you find women, a woman that loves God more than she'll love you. Young ladies, whoever's out there, you find a man that's going to love God and be committed to God above being committed to you. You won't go wrong. Amen? Hey, teach the saints in all biblical matters. We got to bring them in, and then we got to teach them. We have a great responsibility. We got to bring people in, and we've got to teach them. if we can't get it done by going out and knocking doors and pleading and crying with people, then we've got to develop events. We've got to pray that God will show us and develop opportunities. That's what I'm talking about. Opportunities to bring people into church. Because guess what? On a Sunday morning, because Russell Dill sits up here and preaches, people aren't going to go, Russell Dill's preaching, and let's all go to New Hope Baptist Church today. They're not going to do that. Okay? That's why I'm going to ask that you pray. That you pray that God will show us how to get a little bit more organized, with a little bit more commitment, a little bit more fervency, but yet be moldable and pliable to where when God does bring in His man, His pastor in here, that He'll just be weaved right into the process. That's one of my prayers. That's one of my prayers. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for those who are here. I pray, Lord, that You would work in our lives. I pray that we would give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine, Lord. Help us to understand our great responsibility in bringing people in and teaching them Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would show us how to do that more effectively. And that You would bring us back together throughout this next week, Lord. We pray for Pastor Matthew, Lord, and his family, Lord, that You would give them direction and show them what You have for their lives. I pray, Lord, that we understand for New Hope Baptist Church that we believe it is Your will that Pastor Matthew be our pastor. But I just pray, Lord, that Your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.